imagine in some ways the Diamondbacks are kind of like the pretty girl who just broke up with the boyfriend. All right, woo me. Tell me why I should go out with you. I'm now available. Right? And I imagine the Diamondbacks are going to enjoy being wooed.
Wine me and dine me?
Yeah, pretty much. Right? Mm. I mean, that was in...
You want to swipe right on me or left on me?
Well,
there you go.
I wasn't going to go Tinder with it,
I
know what you're talking about.
Yeah. People might be on Tinder and say, why is there a picture of the Diamondbacks right here? Why is the Diamondbacks logo on Tinder?
Yeah, exactly. Well, why is Baxter on my Tinder? I'm going to swipe left on that. I didn't want anything to do with that. It's kind of a crude analogy, but I thought about it. Listening to Derek Hall this morning on the Doug and Wolf show, now that the vote passed yesterday 4-1, and the Diamondbacks are now free to go look wherever they want in Maricopa County for a new home. In listening to Derek Hall this morning, there's no question that you could tell they're excited about being able to look and see what's out there. Here's a Derek Hall answer to a question about whether remodeling Chase Field is an option or not.
Anything's possible, but now that we have the right to go look,
right.
That's very exciting for us. And I don't know where that's going to be. I don't know if it's here, if it's downtown, if it's anywhere within the county. Who knows? But it's just nice having the flexibility now and the freedom to look. This building has obviously a lot of needs, and we're going to address those needs, and we're going to keep it safe for the fans and in the best condition possible and make it look as good as it always has, because we've been responsible for maintenance since day one, and that's why the building looks so good, and we're going to continue to fulfill that commitment for sure.
My boyfriend just told me we can start dating other people. You know what? I want to date other people.
Yeah.
I want to see what else is out there. My boyfriend says we should date other people. Sure, let's go date other people. Absolutely.
Here's my question. Do they just spend the bare minimum necessary to keep everything safe?
I would assume so.
Because if you're going to leave the place, if there's a chance you're going to leave the place, I'm not going all out to make the place,
more than safe. I mean, they'll continue
necessary to repairs necessary.
Keep it cosmetically appealing.
You know when you bring your car. You know when you bring your car in. You've got a car that's a 2006, right?
My daughter does. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
You know when you bring that car in, it's like, okay, you need this now, but we're going to recommend you do this, 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 and this.
Happens every time I take it in.
Just do what's necessary. Leave the recommendation stuff for later.
No doubt.
Is that the Diamondback Stadium right now? Is that Chase Field?
No doubt.
Listen, you have to do this and this now, but this other stuff, put it off. Put it off.
Yep.
It's like when you bring your car in.
Yep.
They can make recommendations. We recommend that you do this, 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 and this. But it doesn't need it right now. No, but you're going to need it. So we could do. No, just wait.
Sure.
That might be Chase Field.
There's no question.
I'm just going to do what we need to do that's required, but I'm not going to do anything else because I'd rather save that money for a new stadium.
Yeah. And they're going to want to do things that are going to continue to make it look good. But is now the time the Diamondbacks would invest massively into a new video board, a new LED system? I know they have these things already, but something new that really dramatically alters how the ballpark looks? God, no. It's the worst time in the world to do it. Do something to make sure the AC works. So make sure that the pipes aren't going to leak on anybody's head, so
right.
that roofs aren't going to collapse, or ceilings are going to come caving in on people.
Flush properly,
that the toilets flush the proper way.
Right.
But other than that, that's all you're going to do.
You may move.
I would imagine over there, it's kind of like that feeling you get. My wife and I haven't done this in a long time, but for fun, we used to go look like at model homes, right?
Knowing you used to do that for fun.
If we had like a couple hours to kill, what do you want to do? I don't know. At the time we were like thinking of moving. So let's go look.
So
let's go look at model homes. We weren't really thinking about moving. We were just kind of thinking about it. So you go and you see some of these beautiful model homes and this is nice. Oh boy. Can you imagine? Wouldn't this be great? Wouldn't this be awesome? I think the Diamondbacks are kind of in that phase right now,
right.
where show me some plans, draw me something up. What would it look like? What would it feel like? Give me a computer simulation so
sure.
I can imagine what it'd be like to sit
and now you
somewhere
can design,
down the first baseline.
You can design it the way you want to design
it. Yep. Now, that still ignores the fundamental issues of who's going to pay for it and where is it going to go and all of that stuff. But I would think...
I think those things get worked out a little bit easier than you expect.
Where's easy? You're right.
101, Indian Bend, Indian Reservation, 80 acres. Here you go. Develop the land. They'll lease the land to you because they can't... They can't sell it to you and they can't gift it to you, but they could lease it to you. So you get a developer that comes in, you get a lender that comes in, and now all of a sudden you got a partnership where you're making money on all of these things. Listen, Diamondbacks aren't moving unless they're part of a development project. Okay, let's just get this out of the way. Diamondbacks are not going to move to a single stadium somewhere else and let somebody else develop all around them. They will be involved in any development project where they move, if they move. Okay, that is going to happen. That
no
is
doubt.
The new model, and that's the new model. Teams are no longer building arenas and stadiums and letting other people benefit by them being the anchor tenant. They're going to want a piece of the pie, and they're going to get a piece of the pie.
Derek Call this morning also on with Doug and Wolf was asked, and I thought it was a good question. Do you feel like you have a responsibility to stay in downtown Phoenix?
Yeah, it's always in the back of our minds, and nobody cares more about downtown than Ken Kendrick. I mean, he is, you know, the lead funder when it comes to the financing of Cityscape, which has been awesome here, you know, and now the next step with the grocery store coming in, there's a lot of excitement for a lot of us down here, and we've been a big part of the growth here. So obviously we do, but I think we feel more of a responsibility for our fans in general and for, you know, season ticket holders and providing the best possible fan experience, and we just have to see what that looks like. You know, if there's something, a better opportunity out there that would bring better results to our fans and to our players, then we owe them that as well. That's a big responsibility of ours as well.
Yeah, translation, yeah, kind of, but ... Look what we could do.
It's killing two birds with one stone. Of course, the fan experience, you know, you enhance the fan experience, you make it better, you know, for your fans to want to go. But you also, this is a revenue thing. I mean, number one is revenue. How do you generate more revenue? How do you make more money? It's no longer about selling tickets and a hot dog and getting revenue from television. It's about developing projects around. You're seeing it in Miami and in Sacramento and Golden State. You're seeing it in Detroit. You're seeing it in a lot of areas where these teams are getting wise and realizing, why am I letting somebody else profit from all these restaurants and hotels around me when I can be part of that?
And it's also about, and we talked a lot about this yesterday, the heat map, right? And it's about,
and they are currently in the process of making a heat map right now,
taking your product and moving it closer physically to your customers,
right?
So that your customers, it's easier for them to get to your product,
right?
Because that, I mean, let's be honest, it's not like it's a chore getting into downtown Phoenix for a Diamondbacks game, but no. One of the things the Diamondbacks have had to battle over the last decade plus is just how damn easy it is to sit at home and watch the game, right? So what's the best way to combat that? Number one, make it a cooler ballpark experience. And by cooler, I don't mean temperature. I mean, you know, a cooler ballpark experience. Chase Field's nice. I don't think it's cool to go to Chase Field. And number two, move it closer to your customers. And you use the heat map, figure out where your customers are. It's exactly what the Atlanta Braves did. They moved their product physically closer to their customer base. And when the Diamondbacks do their heat map, I promise you, they're going to find that somewhere up and down that 101 corridor
is where
their heat map is.
Yeah.
I promise you that's what
they're
going to
find. And I don't know that you alienate that many people from the West Valley. Some people maybe, some people.
We talked about this,
you know,
a couple
hours
ago.
Depends on where you are in the West Valley.
Yeah,
you could hop on that 101 and take that all the way around Indian Bend and be okay.
DM Benton tweeted both of us, those West Valley people were lying. I live in Avondale. If I drive to Chase Field, it takes 20 minutes riding down Buckeye Road. If I go out to Talking Stick on the 101, it takes almost an hour. So I guess it depends on where you live in the West Valley. For some people, it would be just as easy to get to Talking Stick as it would, or to Salt River Fields, as it would to downtown Phoenix. But for a lot of them, it'd be very inconvenient. Again, that's where the heat map comes into play. The Coyotes? I don't think the Coyotes did much of a heat map when they decided to go to Glendale. I'm just gonna throw that one out there and take a guess that the Coyotes didn't do much of a heat map when they decided to move to Glendale. Could be wrong. Could be wrong, and if I am, I'm sure I'll hear from them, and they'll tell me I was wrong. I don't think I'm wrong.
Well, maybe they just never realized. Maybe they never said, okay, let's leave this area at 6 o'clock and see how long it takes us to get there on a Monday night.
Or maybe they got the colors confused on their heat map, you know? Oh, blue. Yeah, we want to move where the blue is. No, you want to move where the red is. Sorry.
Listen, gut feeling, I think they're going to move.
Me too.
I think within 5 years, they'll move, and I think it's going to take 3+ years to build a stadium. I don't think you'll see any announcements soon, but you'll go through that, you know, that whining and dining period that you just talked about. And I do think that, you know, that is it possible that within a year they figure out a new place to move and they could start a building somewhere else? Yeah, it's possible.
Join Aaron Maloney and Arizona Sports this Saturday at Volkswagen North Scottsdale. It's another Adopt a Dog event in conjunction with Halo Animal Rescue. They're also going to have D-backs tickets, 311, The Offspring, A food truck's going to be out there. Go to the events page at arizonasports.com for details. We'll see you tomorrow from 11 to 1 at Volkswagen North Scottsdale. The Cardinals haven't used one in over 5 years. So what is it going to look like now that they have one? That's coming up next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Once upon a time, 2013 to be exact, Bruce Arians said this about fullbacks.
I'm not a fullback guy. I never have been. I want tight ends who are multiple, and the more they can do, the better. If you're a defensive coordinator and I send in a fullback and take out a tight end, I'm going to get your best call for that. All right? If I've got two tight ends and you don't know if one of them's going to play a fullback or one of them's going to split out wide, you're going to give me a down and distance call.
Once upon a time, about a year ago, Bruce Arians said this about fullbacks.
I thought about that title, and then I said, you know, we're trying to sell books, and probably Wolf and John Cone, and yes. Maybe Danny, and that'd be sell like 3 books.
He was asked why he didn't call his book The Fullback Whisperer instead of The Quarterback Whisperer, because we'd sell about 3 books. Once upon a time,
most
Bruce Arians
fullback is.
Thought all of those things about fullbacks. And as Bob Dylan once sang, the times they are changing because the Arizona Cardinals
changing back
signed a fullback today.
Yeah, they did. They went out and got a fullback. And now the question is, are they going to use the fullback? How much are they going to use the fullback after signing Derek Coleman, who they believe was the best fullback out there?
They'll use him. I think the question,
the question is
more
is
how much will they use him?
Yeah. Now, they haven't used the fullback full time in about 6 years. It's been that long since they've used the fullback. So I think that, you know, they'll go that way now. Is David Johnson comfortable with another running back in the backfield with him? You know, are they going to use it just to run? I mean, listen, if you get really good at running the football, I mean, it's not that Bruce was all about the deception with the two tight ends and not knowing what they're going to do. If you get really good at running the football, it doesn't matter. You could tell the team you're running it. You know, we got a great offensive line and we got a great fullback and we're going to try to stop us. I mean, the best running teams in the history of football could tell you they were going to run and still be able to go get there 4 or 5 yards, you know?
Right.
So if you get good at it, you just keep doing it. And you wear the defense down. You just wear them down. We're just going to maul you. We have a great offensive line. We're just going to maul you. So good teams don't have to use the deception. Hey, we're going to line up. Okay, they're running. Great. Stop us. And that's how a lot of the teams were back in the day. You didn't have to disguise anything. You could just go out there and run the ball straight at them. Bringing in a fullback is interesting because it is completely opposite of what Bruce Arians has shown us. The no risk it, no biscuit, let's go down the field. Now, Sam Bradford's more of a short to intermediate passer, where Palmer struggled with the short pass. He was better at the intermediate to long passes, but Bradford's better with the short to, sometimes, you know, Carson would throw too hard. And now, because he was so tall, he was just, you know, Carson wasn't great at that short pass. He would miss fire on it a whole lot. He was better at the intermediate to longer routes, mm-hmm. where Bradford is better at the short to intermediate routes. It's going to be a completely different offense.
Yeah, and more than the Cardinals and how they're going to employ a fullback, how they're going to use a fullback, honestly, that's a conversation that Ron Wolfley is better off having than I am. He knows far more about that than I do. But to me, it's what it symbolizes. I mean, the Bruce Arians era is over. They just signed a fullback. Now, for a lot of people, it was over the day he retired. Okay, yeah, and I get that. But for a guy who demeaned the idea of using a fullback for the 5 years that he was here, and now they go out and sign one of the ones that was left on the market, it is a truly new era. And I, in a way, can't wait to see how different it looks when they take the field. I'm used to no risk it, no biscuit. I'm used to wide receivers blowing the top off the defense. I'm used to what is a fullback centric, at least some of the time, type offense look like for the Arizona Cardinals? I don't know. It's going to
be fun.
It's going to be new. Of course, it's going to be fun. Yeah. Look, if it wins, I don't give a hoot what it looks like. Just if it wins football games, fine. Have a fullback. Do whatever you want to do.
You know, that glamour play where you throw the ball 60 yards down the field and the guy catches it and runs in the end zone is fine. I mean, that's fine. But fans love physical football teams on both sides of the ball. I mean, fans prefer physical football teams. You know, that's what you get behind. You want that to be your MO. You want that to be your identity. Your identity is you're a physical football team. You maul teams. You wear them out on both sides of the ball. Nothing like a big hit on defense or a fullback coming in and cracking a linebacker and right and blowing up a big hole for a running play. So if that becomes their identity, and I think Wilkes is probably leaning that way, where Bruce wasn't, like, they didn't hit each other a lot in practice, and, you know, Bruce liked the, you know, playing that, you know, long, let's throw the long play. We're going to take 5-6 shots down the field. I think Wilkes is going to be much more about identifying this football team as a real physical football team, where it's going to be hard to come in here and play the Cardinals. It's going to be hard to come in and play. If you win, you're going to win, but you're going to leave with some bruises.
Yeah, I mean, they do want to establish a different kind of identity, and I do also wonder if there is a way to unlock, as crazy as it sounds, even more from David Johnson when you do something like that. You know, is there a way to unlock a different version of David Johnson than the one that Bruce Arians did? I don't know how. Again, that's, you know, that's masterclass football, and I'm football 101, but I do wonder if it changes how they deploy David Johnson with a fullback now, and if it changes how they use him at all.
I don't know. If it's not broke, you don't have to fix it, right? David Johnson, I'm going back to what he did 2 years ago, because that worked. You know, I'm gonna hand him the ball, and I'm going to throw him the ball, and I'm going to get the ball in his hands, you know, 20-plus times a game. I got to have touches from that guy. I've got to have touches.
And I guess what I wonder is, will they – Bruce was loved David Johnson, the wide receiver. I wonder if they'll use David Johnson, the running back, especially if they're going to employ a fullback, if they'll use David Johnson, the running back, a little more.
We just got a note that the Cardinals have signed Josh Rosen to a 4-year contract with a team option on a 50-year.
Really?
Yeah, we just got that note. The Cardinals have signed Josh Rosen. Not like it wasn't going to happen,
well,
but
I was going to say
the Arizona Cardinals Football Club today announced that the team has signed UCLA quarterback Josh Rosen, the team's first round selection in the 2018 NFL draft, to a 4-year contract with a team option for a fifth.
Oh, and that's the line right there, isn't it? With the team option for a fifth.
Listen, I keep saying this. If this kid works out, you're going to go the entire decade of the 2020s without them drafting a quarterback, you know, high in the first, second, or third round. Because this kid's going to be your quarterback. If he's your quarterback for 15 years, you know, you're not going to think about drafting a quarterback until around 2030.
Potentially, right?
Yeah, because it's 12 years from now, the kid will be 34 years old. I mean, you're not drafting a quarterback in the first or second round if you got Matt Ryan, are you?
No.
Right?
No.
So, you know, think about that. I mean, Matt Ryan is how old?
Matt Ryan is
32 years old.
Okay, 30. I was going to say 29 or 30.
All right, so, you know, you're not going to draft a quarterback next year with Matt Ryan or the year after. So if this kid works out, you probably don't draft a quarterback for the next 12 years high in the draft.
That fifth-year option, I saw a story this morning. I just looked it up real quick. Dak Prescott, there was a quote from Stephen Jones, the executive vice president of the Cowboys, who said, you know, when it's time to pay Dak Prescott, I promise we are going to pay him. This year, he is making 2.7. Actually, no, I'm sorry. Let me change that. The fourth round pick signed a 4-year contract worth $2.7 million. That is less than what Cole Beasley will make in base salary this year alone.
Really?
Dak Prescott has a $2.7 million contract in total. In total. That's less than what Cole Beasley is going to make 1 year with the Dallas Cowboys this year.
Got to bide your time.
Oh, it's such a bargain. When you get guys like that, it is such a bargain. Some NFL analysts are already turning their attention to next year's draft, and by doing so, they sort of illustrate why the Cardinals did what they did in this year's NFL draft. We'll explain next on the Burns and Gambo Show. Since somebody asked, I looked it up real quick. Joel Corey used to be an NFL agent, kind of popular on Twitter because he tweets about the business of the NFL. According to Joel Corey, and this is a tweet I took a picture of a couple weeks ago and saved it in my file, Josh Rosen, his cap number in 2018 is going to be $3.19 million.
Wow.
He got an $11 million signing bonus, a total deal worth $17.5 million over 4 years. And that's based solely on where it's slotted, right?
Fifth-year option is going to be, yeah, so you got 5 years of really having good control of your salary because you're not paying a quarterback $30 million a
year. You're paying Josh Rosen $17.5 million over 4 years.
Right. Gives you the flexibility to go keep players that you want to keep, sign players. Yeah, I mean, that's the luxury of getting a quarterback like that. I mean, okay, think about this. They're paying Sam Bradford this year more than they're going to pay Josh Rosen over the next four.
I know. It's nuts.
If Bradford plays and he gets to the $20 million mark, you'll have paid Bradford in 1 year what more than you're paying Josh Rosen over 4 years. What'd you say, $17.5 million over
4? 17.5 over 4.
Okay, that's more than you'll pay. You'll pay Bradford more this year if Bradford plays in most of the games.
Yeah.
Because he's already at 15 guaranteed. A couple of games, you know, you play more games. He could get to 20.
He could get to 20. I think that's the most he could get. Yeah.
Right, and then that caps again. So can you imagine instead of having a quarterback count 20 against the cap, having him count 4 against the cap? That gives you a lot of flexibility to do other things.
Yeah, so Rosen is the first of the draft picks to be signed. Maloney mentioned it in her update a second ago. I'm looking on Twitter from Darren Urban's Twitter account. He writes for azcardinals.com. I'm looking at the Cardinals' Twitter account, and there's Josh Rosen all decked out in red, shaking Michael Bidwell's hand. I saw him trying on his jersey. Tomorrow, the rookie minicamp opens up, and Josh Rosen takes the field for the first time as a member of the Arizona Cardinals. You know,
when was the last time they had a player that was this excited, that you were this excited about? Was it Plummer?
The last time, okay, you know what? I'm going to be dead honest with you about this.
Leinart?
No. The last time.
Last time I had a player that you were this excited about seeing.
I'm going to say the name and you're going to roll your eyes and you're going to go, oh God, really? But if you think back at the time when they got him.
Give me a hint.
Offensive player?
Emmitt Smith.
Beanie Wells. I was really excited when they got Beanie Wells. I thought he was going to blow guys up. I really did.
I thought he was going to get hurt signing a contract.
I thought he was. I remember thinking at the time.
Really?
With where
I'm going to roll my eyes.
I know. Well, looking back on it, it's dumb. I admit it. But at the time, I mean, they were coming off the Super Bowl, if I remember right, when they drafted him. And I thought, oh, man, if Beanie Wells is that and you just added Beanie Wells to that team. I was excited. I was really excited about what Beanie was. And then he started playing and things started breaking and that I wasn't excited about it anymore. But in the moment, who would you have said the last guy you were this excited to see?
I mean, I think it was, I honestly think it was Plummer.
Really?
Plummer or Leinart. I mean, one of the two.
Emmitt just quarterbacks or in general? I mean, any player?
Can I count Buda Baker?
I was going to say, I'm shocked you didn't say Buda Baker.
No, I mean, this the general excitement that a guy could lift your franchise, that type of player. The excitement that a player can lift your franchise to a different, you know, it's got to be a quarterback or, you know, a star running back. I mean, like you said with Beanie, I could understand the Beanie stuff.
Yeah, because he's a skill player, skill offensive player.
Edgerrin James?
Not like this. No, not like
this.
What
about Tyrann Mathieu?
I was curious about Tyrann Mathieu. I wouldn't say excited. It was a different kind of emotion.
Wadsworth?
Boy, that's going back a long time now. I don't even remember what I was... you know, I remember about Wadsworth? Is he ever going to get here? He was one of those holdouts.
Yeah. First game was against the Cowboys.
Yeah,
right?
He was one of those. And
he signed and played like 2 days later against the Cowboys.
And we say, you know, when Josh Rosen signs today, I think things that remind me how old I am because I think of back in the day when... Cardinals, when first-round picks in general, but in particular with the Cardinals, had a difficulty getting signed
right on
time.
Long
holdouts. And it was just every single year, it was holdout, holdout, holdout. Here's another reason to be excited about the Josh Rosen signing, the Josh Rosen drafting and the rookie minicamp starting tomorrow. I understand this is just a big board, and Mel Kiper even admits it's way too early to be talking about this, but it's clickbait. So he puts out his way too early big board for 2019. Not a mock draft. He just ranks the players that he's projecting are going to be available next year. The thing that stood out to me, of the top 25 guys listed, there were only two quarterbacks. And the highest one was at number 16. Now, if that's...
The Missouri quarterback.
Yeah, if that's even remotely accurate... It suggests that the Cardinals were wise in moving up to number 10 to get Josh Rosen.
Yeah, because they're saying next year's quarterback class right now does not project to be a great quarterback class.
That's what they say.
Now, me and you both know that there's going to be a quarterback drafted in the top 10 next year.
Oh, of course there are.
We know that there will be. That, you know, you even said top five, and I would probably not. I wouldn't bet you on that. You know,
why
you, I wouldn't. Bet
I don't know
you
why
that.
You. I don't know why you wouldn't. You've beaten me in every single bet we've had the last year.
You owe me one lunch right now. Is that what he owes me, Jordan? One lunch.
Do I owe him one lunch?
One
where,
lunch.
Where do we stand right now?
Three quarterbacks taken. Bang, bang, bang. Did not happen. Saquon Barkley got me a lunch on Burnsy.
I think I paid off the last.
You were
the,
even
the
going
lunch.
Into the draft.
I think yeah. I paid off the Bartman lunch.
I think you did too. Not 100% sure, but I'll give you that one. I think you owe me the Saquon Barkley one.
Yeah, I think I yeah, is that right? Okay, yeah. So I owe you.
What's our next one coming up? What do we got? We got a good one coming up here?
Jordan's our.
I mean, is he going to break this streak? This is like the Harlem Globetrotters against the Washington Generals, man.
Yeah.
I can't even count how many bets I've won in a row against Burnsy.
You've got
I'm eating good in the neighborhood.
You've got a Gambo says Paul George stays in Oklahoma City.
Oh, that's a good one. That's a good one.
Ooh, that's an interesting
one. That's a good one. You could win that one.
Burnsy
right?
says the Browns will have the number one pick in the 2019 draft.
Oh, no way.
I said that?
I'm going to win that one.
I said that?
I'm going to win that one.
Gambo predicts ASU football to go 4-8.
Oh, wait. Is there a bet on that?
Yeah.
What's the bet?
Well, that they... Oh, I think it was four games. It's four games.
We bet
four
on that?
Games.
Yeah. We bet on that?
I don't remember betting
it's
on that.
It's down here.
Okay.
I'll have to go back and make sure. And then we still have, this one's going to take forever, but it's a 3-1 bet. Gambo says Tom Brady doesn't play for another team.
Oh, that one is going to take forever.
Oh, I'm going to win that one for sure. That's for sure I'm going to win that one.
That he doesn't play for another team?
He's not going to play for anybody else.
We don't have we don't have a LeBron bet? We don't have a LeBron plays for somebody else bet? I thought for sure
yeah,
we had
do.
That. Okay.
I say LeBron
Gambo
stays in Cleveland.
Gambo that LeBron never plays for a team outside of Cavs.
That's right.
Okay. All right. New
That's right.
Okay. I forgot about
right,
that
so
one.
So there's some good ones on
got
the docket.
Got some long-term
yeah,
ones.
Yeah, we do. Well, you know, when you've been together as long as Gambo and I have, we're stretching this out into the long term. The two quarterbacks in Mel Kiper Jr.'s way too early big board. Drew Locke, the Missouri quarterback, Justin Herbert, the quarterback out of Oregon. Those are the only two that made his list. Interesting that somebody else made his list, and that was N'Keal Harry, the wide receiver out of ASU, who made number 22 on his way too early top 25.
Hey, fun player to watch, especially on the sidelines, man. He just, cornerbacks draped all over him, and you throw the ball up, and he makes catches on the sideline. I love the kid. He's a great player.
Yeah, he's
special.
He's going to be a lot of fun to watch. He is. He's special. He's a special player. And he could have a special year with Manny Wilkins.
You know, we've had ASU-wide receivers. Like, I thought that Derek Hagan was going to be real good, and he wasn't. And then we had the kid from just a couple of years ago that went to the Texans that we thought was going to be good. They've had some wide receivers that I expected to be better that weren't, you know.
Yeah.
Jalen Strong.
Yeah.
Jalen Strong, I thought would
you remember
be good.
On draft day when we were just watching Jalen Strong fall and
right.
fall
like
and
why?
Fall?
What happened? Well, it's got to be something, man.
Yeah, well, it turned out to be correct. I mean, he's been bouncing around in the NFL, hasn't really found himself a home very consistently. So, Josh Rosen signed. The rookie minicamp starts tomorrow. And, yeah, this is...
By the way, Jay Feely just said you should pay me for the Brady bet right now because Brady won't play for anyone else.
I'm not going to do that. Why would I do that, Jay?
Yeah, you don't concede.
Why would I concede that now? What benefit would I have in conceding that bet now?
Maybe Belichick trades him because he hates him so much.
Maybe,
and there's nothing Brady could do.
Or maybe Belichick. Maybe
I'm
Belichick
trading you to the worst team in the league.
Goes to Robert Kraft and says, it's him or me. I want to trade him because I know he's done. And Robert Kraft goes, fine.
Or Brady just, maybe the Patriots just, okay, we're done with you. And he wants to play one more year and he goes somewhere else.
Jeez.
I don't think he would do that.
Seriously, Jay Feely just sent me three messages in the span of 60 seconds. Jay, keep your hands at 10 and 2. Drive the car, all right? Quit texting and driving at the same time, Jay. 10 and 2, eyes on the road. Quit texting me during the show.
Wait, you do it all the time. You could text without using your phone. I don't know how to do it. You're good at it. You like talk to your phone and you send texts.
He's calling you out right now.
No, he does text while he's driving, but he doesn't like
I do.
he doesn't text like normal.
It's called the
text.
Home button on the phone. Siri text Jordan Bird. What would you like to say? I'd like to tell him that
you're
I'm 15
idiot.
Minutes late and I'll be there when I get there and map the show without me if you want.
Oh, you just have that on cruise control right there. You just set same message, just send every day. It's set to send
exactly.
at a certain time.
When you're 15 minutes late every single day, at what point do you have to stop telling everyone you're going to be 15 minutes late? It's just assumed you're going to be there
12:30 every
minutes.
Day. It's the same. Something just set to send at 12:30 every day. I'm going to be 15 minutes late. It sends at the same exact time every day.
That's true. It's true, because every day at 1:15, I come rolling in. All right, what are we going to talk about today? He's been one of the best pitchers in all of baseball, but are there reasons to be concerned about Patrick Corbin? We'll talk about that coming up on the Burns and Gambo Show.
The home of Arizona Diamondbacks baseball is 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. We're checking in on the Diamondbacks as they warm up for the game's first pitch. D-backs on deck, presented by Cox. Get Cox high-speed internet for $29.99 a month for 12 months and ask about panoramic Wi-Fi. Learn more at cox.com.
The D-backs on deck show, getting you ready for Diamondbacks baseball tonight at Chase Field. In fact, Gambo is going to be busting out of here as soon as the show is done. Go watch tonight's game, the first of four against the Washington Nationals.
Red hot Washington Nationals.
Yeah, they're playing
ever
a lot better.
Ever since they beat Arizona in that final game to avoid the sweep, they have played some really, really good baseball.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. They are playing a whole lot better right now. There's no question.
Even though Bryce Harper's not. Bryce Harper is really struggling right now. He got a day off on a Wednesday, but he's in an 0-for-19 slump past four-plus games. Does not have a hit since he homered against the Phillies on May 4th. So he's in a big slump, 0-for-19, but they're winning a lot of baseball games. They did give Harper off on Wednesday, tried to reset and get him and see if they can get him going.
Yeah, Harper going through some struggles right now, but guys coming back. Anthony Rendon came back for the Washington Nationals. That's helping. There's no doubt about it. Time for the D-backs on deck show and the pitching matchup tonight brought to you by the Berg Simpson Law Firm. When the game is on the line and you've been injured, nobody matches up to Berg Simpson. Visit BergSimpson.com. That's BergSimpson.com. Zach Greinke goes to the hill for the Arizona Diamondbacks today. Gave up one run in 5 2/3 against the Astros on Saturday. Struck out five. He's done well in his last couple of starts, giving up three earned runs in 11 2/3 innings pitched with 15 strikeouts over his last two starts.
Yeah, he's established himself as, as continues to be the ace of this staff. He's going up against the right-hander Tanner Roark, and the Diamondbacks are going to see Max Scherzer and Steven Strasburg in this series. Diamondbacks are going to go Greinke, Cook, TBA to be announced, and then Zach Godley. So that's how they're going to go. No Robbie Ray, of course, because he's out. No Patrick Corbin, because he pitched yesterday. So Greinke, Cook, to be announced, and then Godley are the four going. Granky's been good for this team. There's no doubt they want to try to keep this streak going. They've got four games here against a team that is red hot. A team that's honestly, Burnsy, a team that's really starting to win because their starting pitching has been really good. In their last 11 games, the National starters have combined ERA of 1.92, and they've compiled 85 strikeouts to just 11 walks. So their starters are really doing, and they're going deeper in games. Only three times have they had a starter not log at least six innings during that stretch. So they're getting deep into games, and their starters are pitching really well. That's what's carrying
them. Yeah, they've won nine of their last 11 games, and you see just who's responsible for those wins in those games. It's Roark, it's Scherzer, it's Strasburg, it's Strasburg again, it's Hellickson. The starting pitching has come around, and against decent competition. They've done it against Philly. They've done it against Pittsburgh. They just took 2 of 3 against the San Diego Padres. That's not saying a whole lot. As far as Saturday's start goes, Torey Lovello referenced that pregame today, said this.
Not yet. All internal names, everybody, I'm sure that you guys are thinking through. We are thinking through as well. TJ's name isn't in that equation, but we might need TJ over the next couple days. So we're not exactly sure right now at this point.
Which means they know exactly who's going to pitch. They just don't want to tell you because that's kind of been their thing all
I'm
year.
I'm glad you said it because I was going to say it too.
It's true. They know exactly
who's pitching
in that game. But that seems to be, I don't know why Lovello's like he thinks he's keeping the hidden secrets and everything right now. And protecting, I don't know, the Vatican or something. I mean, they know. I mean, I knew Medlin was pitching while Lovello was. I haven't told Lovello. I knew Medlin was pitching 3 days before, You know, that Lovello claims he did.
Right.
You know, that Medlin was being called up and he was going to start that game. And we announced it. We reported it. We had it on the update. So they know who's pitching. I mean, don't let them fool you.
They just don't want to say it for whatever reason.
Yeah, they don't want the other team knowing. I mean, that's what it is. They don't want the other team knowing.
Last night's game, Diamondbacks lost to the Dodgers on the road, which is fine. I mean, you're not going to win every single game. They split the series. They still have not lost a series yet so far this year. Though, as you said earlier, that's coming. I mean, they've been, for the last couple of weeks, I need to go back and look at the schedule to be sure, they've been playing just a tick above 500 baseball for the better part of the last couple of weeks, right?
Right.
They're winning series, which no one's ever going to complain about, no one's ever going to say a bad thing about, but the streak at some point is going to come to an end. It's a four-game series against the Nationals, so it might not end this weekend. They might split this series and still continue having not lost a series, but it's going to come. I think the biggest thing about last night's game, and we've talked a little bit about this today, is Patrick Corbin. Velocity was down a tick or two or three. Slider location in the strike zone. Not very good last night. He was really struggling to throw that slider for strikes. Some of it might just be the familiarity of seeing the Dodgers. That's the third time last night he faced them. So they might have a real good idea of what he's trying to do against them. Same thing with Zach Godley. He's thrown against the Dodgers four times. But I'll be curious to see how Corbin looks. No red flags yet. But two more starts of diminished velocity for Patrick Corbin and the inability to find the strike zone, that might be a little red flag time when it comes to Patrick Corbin.
Yeah.
In two starts from now.
I agree with you. Right now, I'm not worried about Patrick Corbin at all. If the next two starts are like this, the velocity's down, the slider's not being controlled for strikes, he's walking a lot of guys, he's 3-2, then at that point I would be like, okay, let's start to worry a little bit.
Yeah. We had Zach Buchanan on. He does a really nice job covering the team for the Athletic website. We had him on earlier in the show, and he talked about Corbin's velocity.
The velocity obviously stands out. I mean, his last start of April against the Nationals in D.C., he was averaging 93 miles per hour on his fastball. He's been sitting kind of 88, 89 the last two times out against the Dodgers. That's concerning. Usually a drop of about a mile or something like that, a mile an hour, not a huge concern, but that's a pretty steep drop off.
And you're right. If you were to just look at the box score from last night's game, there wouldn't be anything wrong with it. He struck out seven. He only went five, but he just gave up the one earned run, and his ERA is still sitting just a shade above two. But if you watched last night's game, he labored last night. It was a struggle.
Fourth inning
for
and
him.
The fifth inning, 3-2, wild pitch, allowed a run. He was 3-2. We walked guys on those 3-2 pitches. Now he got out of it. I mean, I do give him credit for getting out of it. But if you watch that game and you saw that fourth and fifth inning, you watched a guy that was really, really struggling to control the strike zone. He did not have any control of the strike zone. And he got some breaks, and he was able to get out of the inning without a lot of damage.
And he suggested that facing L.A. so much is a disadvantage right now.
Back-to-back games versus them, I mean, I think third time this season. I mean, they know what I'm going to do, and you just kind of got to have to go out there, execute, and they did a better job today at that.
But there's also a difference between knowing what someone's going to do and seeing it. And the Dodgers have had the benefit of seeing Patrick Corbin up close and personal. I mean, there's a reason why managers will hold their starters out in spring training when they're pitching against division rivals.
Yeah,
you just don't want to give them those free looks.
Yeah,
right.
Don't get the look.
Time for the injury report for tonight's game, and I'll let Torrey Lovello deliver it. Pre-game today, he gave the update on Jake Lamb and Robbie Ray.
Jake's going to have a full day of work. He's going to take ground balls, throw across, BP in the cage. We're hitting in the cage. Otherwise, he'd be on the field with us. Robbie Ray did some dry throwing, did some core conditioning today, and is feeling great. What's the target date when he starts to throw a ball? We're not sure, but it's trending towards that. So everything's moving in a good direction.
As for Randall Delgado and Shelby Miller,
Randall Delgado had an aggressive game, a catch out to 90 feet, and I just saw him. He said he felt as good as he's felt since he returned from the rehab assignment, and then I might be missing one in there. And Shelby's going to throw three innings tomorrow, so he's really excited about that. Everybody's on the right path in recovering. That's the most important thing.
Yeah, the ones in particular are Robbie Ray and Shelby Miller, if only because starting pitching depth, potentially, especially with not knowing who Saturday's starter is going to be, potentially is the thing that could undo this. They can't take too many more injuries, knock on wood, to their starting pitching rotation.
I wonder if Miller comes back as a starter or a reliever. I mean, I wonder if he takes – I mean, I don't know.
Who knows?
They might need him as a starter. Like, they may have been thinking about reliever, but they may have to go starter just because they need it.
I think a lot of that depends on two things. I think it depends on Ray and how quickly he comes back, and I think it depends on Cook and how well he continues to do.
Sure.
If Cook does well, there might not be any reason to take him out of there.
And if Clay Buchholz can come up and do a good job, that's another option. You just need depth there.
Yeah, he's kind of a wild card in this whole thing and how he's going to do. But the beginning of a four-game series, Diamondbacks getting some national TV love this weekend. They're going to be on FS1 on Saturday. They're the ESPN Sunday night game against the Washington Nationals. So some national attention coming the Arizona Diamondbacks' way. Let's see what kind of a show they can put on over these next four games. Let's get you some keys to tonight's game.
Listen, man, I need you to be the key master.
I am the key master.
D-backs Keys to the Game, brought to you by your Valley Chevy dealers, the most awarded and fastest growing brand 4 years in a row. Find your Chevy today. Visit valleychevy.com.
Gambo's always good for a key or
all
two.
Right, here you go. This one's an interesting one. Greinke did not pitch against Washington earlier this season. He has not faced them since he joined the Diamondbacks. He's 5-1 with a 1.49 ERA and 7 starts against them. But his last start against them came when he was with the Dodgers in 2015. So there's unfamiliarity there over the last couple of years. So a little bit of an edge for Zach Greinke, because these Nationals really haven't seen him since he's pitched with the Dodgers. That could be an advantage for the Diamondbacks today.
Tip of the cap on the key to the game from John Gambardoro. That is
2015.
Not bad at all.
2015, the last time they faced them.
I'm like, somebody's talking. Who's talking? Complimenting you on your keys.
All right, there you go.
Stuff. All right, we're out of here. We're going to be back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Everything you need to know about this game, a review of day one of rookie minicamp. It's all coming up tomorrow on the Burns and Gambo Show at 2 o'clock.
Have a good night, everyone.
You've been listening to D-backs on Deck, presented by Cox. Get Cox high-speed internet for $29.99 a month for 12 months and ask about panoramic Wi-Fi. Learn more at cox.com.